People might think that my Munster hat is too Munster. Got to get into a position where we're rewarding form as opposed to credit in the bank.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the Rugby Channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.
The News Run on Off the Ball
with Gillette, proud sponsors of Movember. Gentlemen, start your razors.
This is News Talk.
Welcome along, Joe Malloy with you this evening. So Republic of Ireland against Portugal tomorrow. We will bring you some of what Stephen Kenny has been saying this evening at his press conference. Gavin Cooney with us as well from the 42. He was at that press conference. So Gav on the way this hour. Wednesday night rugby after 8. For the men, there is the excitement of New Zealand on Saturday. The women, they play USA Friday, but more to the point, seemingly at war with the IRFU. Gordon Darcy, Andy Dunn on the way after 8. Niamh is, Liverpool supporter, now the Liverpool captain. Republic of Ireland international as well, of course. She's on the football show, as is Tom English of BBC Scotland. All the indications now being that Stephen Gerrard is going to take the Villa job. What kind of manager are they getting is the question. We'll chat to Tom about Gerrard's time in Scotland, which he obviously followed very closely. That's on the way at 9 o'clock. 53106, the text number. We're at Off the Ball on Twitter. Richie McCormick, hello to you.
Evening, Joe.
And Ronan Mullen is with us again. Hello.
Hi, Joe.
We were working on this Tom English piece together, Ronan. You were looking into Gerrard ahead of the chat with Tom. What kind of manager are Aston Villa getting is the question.
Yeah, well, Aston Villa better get ready for a skyrocketing of accreditation requests, I'd say, because judging by the coverage, and Tom alludes to it in the chat we streamed earlier, that this is very much an English-based story, and the journalists that Gerrard would have tended to deal with during his heady England days are the ones sort of reporting this. So the intrigue of him returning to the Premier League has begun in earnest. And, you know, there has been some squabbling in different quarters about the success he's had at Rangers, how we qualify it. And I tend to think stopping Celtic's 10 in a row is about as iconic achievement as he could have hoped to garner when he went up and took that job in Glasgow. So I think he can leave with his head held high if that's what he chooses to do. There are obvious parallels with what Brendan Rodgers did, you know, in the middle of his Celtic project, decided to up sticks mid-season or latter part of the season when they were on course for more trophies and took the Leicester job, saw it as more appealing. And I get the sense Rodgers had been linked with bigger jobs at that stage as well, but you never quite got the sense he was truly in the running for them. And much the same with Gerrard, like as much as we want to talk about him being a prospective successor for Jurgen Klopp when he walks away in 2024, I think he needs a bridging job before he can hope to get a job like that. I think he'd have to basically establish himself as as someone who can cope in the Premier League at a club with reasonably high expectations. Like, I know they aren't talking about Champions League qualification or anything like that, but Villa, having sacked Dean Smith, who's one of their most successful managers of recent years, are basically showing that even Sean, Jack Grealish, they have, you know, aspirations to get into the upper tiers of the Premier League, and they're obviously trusting Gerrard to do that.
Yeah, like one of the more overused stats in the last couple of days is Villa's net spend, which I really hadn't appreciated. So since 2019, $244 million net spend. That's more than Man City, it's more than Spurs, only Manchester United and Arsenal, interestingly, higher in terms of net spend. So they absolutely are a club with ambitions. Christian Perslow was there. He had been at Liverpool as managing director, so has a relationship with Gerrard. And Gerrard pictured arriving in London today, and Michael Beale, his highly rated coach, was in London Tuesday. So there's definitely a sense that conversations are probably happening at the moment. That's the sense in Scotland as well. It's interesting, like, a range of opinion on whether or not this is a good move for Gerrard. Like, Damien Delaney last night was saying Villa is about as high up as Gerrard is likely to land in Premier League terms. Big traditional club, spending money. I mean, how much higher a club is he going to get if he wins another league title or two at Rangers? Probably not that high. Danny Murphy was saying, I'd be surprised if he was to leave Rangers to join Villa. Not because Villa isn't a great club, but there's only so far you can take them. The ceiling is low. So contrary opinions there. I saw Jamie Carragher saying, oh, yeah, it's tempting, it's tricky. Be nice to win another title or two at Rangers. Cement a great job. It's a tough one. So kind of a range of opinion on whether or not he should take it, but it seems like he is going to take it. A little sense of Gerrard for you here as manager. So generally in the last year, it's been easy to be magnanimous because they didn't lose a game in the league last year. It was fairly, easy stuff in many ways. They barely conceded a goal, 102 points, unbeaten all season. This is a little sense of Gerard 2018. This is November 2018. Rangers have just lost 4-3 to Spartak Moscow. He's made a few changes defensively for the game. They've conceded four goals. It's not good. So he's on BT Sport, and it just shows you, you know, this could be interesting in the Premier League if he doesn't hold his tongue a little bit like this at times.
Do you feel the defensive changes played any part at all in the frailties today?
Possibly, if people want to say that, I'll take responsibility for that. But I think under 12s, under 13s normally can clear the ball with either foot. And I think when you get a little bit older, you learn how to play the game positionally. So I don't know, I'm a bit confused over that one, especially with the lads that were picked, because they've done so well for us so far and got us into this position. So I can't be too critical.
And it was harsh, particularly on Alan McGregor, who made some outstanding saves for you tonight.
Yeah, and he's done that in every game for us. And I think the difference with us is you get away with it against a lot of teams, but not at this level. Not against a team that's full of talent and an ex-Champions League team. You get punished if you don't do the basics well.
Just about reined in that stinging criticism, Richie, I would say.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. Big-named, big-egoed, former Liverpool captain, number 8, started off his managerial career at Rangers. Hopefully he fares better in his first English top flight job than Graeme Souness did. But it is an interesting appointment for Villa, because all of the word from Villa Park around the weekend when Dean Smith was sacked was that they wanted the next managerial appointment to be the right one, because they wanted to take that next step. They don't want to be a yo-yo club. They don't want to be someone like a Brighton who's gotten promoted and intends to just hang in there as best they can and as in a kind of a less kind of spendy way as possible. Villa want to be back where they were in the 90s, I guess, not necessarily the biggest club in England, but one that could, you know, puncture the bubble of the likes of Liverpool and Manchester United on occasion, win a cup here and there, and maybe be in the title conversation, at least briefly, during the season. They want to get back there. Their spending kind of lays that out. It's really difficult to know whether Gerrard or not would be a success, because the Scottish Premiership, with the greatest of respect, and we've covered those words yesterday in the show, I guess, it's not a measure by which you would say anybody is going to be a success or otherwise in the Premier League. It's just like it's too hard to gauge. It's basically keeping a decent squad's interest through playing the likes of, you know, people who aren't Celtic for, you know, 8-9 games a season, coming around to the Old Firm, peaking at the right time, winning that one, and then moving on. It's not a case of having to put together superb performances week after week. It's, I guess, maintaining the interest of a squad. Villa need to win matches. And they need to start putting together results pretty quickly, because they could find themselves dragged into trouble. There's a couple of teams, you know, objectively worse than them in the Premier League at the minute. Newcastle and Norwich City are going to be in dire trouble even towards the end of the season. Villa don't want to be in that conversation. They're okay for now. If this doesn't go right initially, they could find themselves struggling. And Gerrard is then in a position that he's never found himself before. And that would be interesting.
Yeah, it really would. I mean, it is hard to know what to read into his tenure at Scotland. An amazing season last season, 26 clean sheets. Now, it's definitely aided by the fact that, one, he was given a lot of resources because Rangers were so desperate to not let Celtic win the 10 in a row. And secondly, Celtic imploded. So that was part of the story as well. But you go through a Premiership season unbeaten, regardless of the league. That's kind of impressive. But it's probably still more a sign of experience as opposed to a guarantee he'll be a success. It does seem like he's had the acumen to surround himself with very highly rated people. So, for instance, he went for the experience of Gary McAllister just to have him there. That, I think that was quite a shrewd move. And then Michael Beale, by all accounts, incredibly highly rated coach. And it seems if Gerrard goes, they all go, or certainly Beale goes. So there is that too. But it's going to be interesting. This very interesting Premier League season would get more interesting, I think, if Gerrard pitches up, needless to say. So I kind of hope to see it happen. Kyle says, I watch a good bit of Scottish football. Gerrard likes his team to be organised, so it's not like he'll be bringing a complicated playbook to Villa Park. If the money they have sloshing around can be spent on a couple of mercurial types, then they'll be at least solid, not expecting miracles. And Brian Selbridge, at least Gerrard's dipping his toe into the Premier pool at a lower level, not making the same mistake as Solskjaer, biting off more than he can chew. To be fair, Solskjaer did start off at Cardiff, got relegated, and still somehow got the Man United job. But that's a whole different story, which we don't need to go into now. Make sense of that for us. Maybe if he gets relegated at Villa, Liverpool will hire him. That would be
he has connections. He has connections to Erling Haaland, Joe. That's essentially what's going to save Solskjaer between now and the summer. He knows Haaland personally, can bring him in, and then he can go on his merry way.
Well, you know, if Solskjaer turned around to the board and said, if you keep me to the end of the season, I can get you Haaland, I think a lot of Man United fans might say, all right, then you're on. Deal. Let's see how ugly this gets, Ronan.
I think me and Ariel might laugh at that.
The Richie made a good point there about the Souness thing. Obviously, when he segued between Rangers and Liverpool, it was seen as somewhat of a sideways move still at that time of football life. And things have obviously come on an awful lot. Like, I think it was crystallised by that Rodgers situation where he couldn't have literally done any more in Scotland, and Leicester was where he pitched up ultimately. And similarly, like, I think people remember with Martin O'Neill, and probably not to compare Martin O'Neill's success to what Gerrard has done in Scotland, but he left obviously the Old Firm after a couple of years off and took that Villa job when Villa had similar ambitions, and he had a right good crack at it. Like, he got them in and around Champions League contention and built a pretty good squad, but spent a lot of money. So you get the impression if Gerrard's going to Villa, he's going to go on the promise that it's not just the residue of the Jack Grealish money, most of which they've already spent, actually, but that they're going to continue to pump money into this project. Because the one thing you can say about Villa is there is a high ceiling there if they can get stuff together, that they're a big enough fan base, you know, a reputable club that if they get their house in order can attract top players. So I think, you know, on paper and in theory, it's a good move for him, but it could just as easily go the other way, I think.
No, it could. To be fair, I'd agree with Damon Delaney yesterday, who said he couldn't imagine Gerrard getting a higher level job than Villa. Like,
no.
Premier League, money to spend, a lot of things going for it. That is not a bad entry-level Premier League job. We'll talk to Tom English after nine on the football show, obviously, of BBC Scotland. First, though, we'll get into the news round. It is, as ever, with thanks to Gillette, proud sponsors of Movember. Gentlemen, start your razors. And some injury news ahead of tomorrow night's game, Richie.
Yeah, actually, before that, we'll bring you this piece of news that broke in the past few minutes, because Ronan might have a little bit more insight into it too. LMFM reporting, and Daniel McDonald as well, saying that a deal has been reached between Dundalk's owners Peak Six and the local consortium made up of Statsports and Fastfix for the sale of the club. Dan has said deal done. The local consortium, led by former owner Andy Connolly and sports technology firm Statsports, have agreed to take over the ownership of Dundalk from Peak Six. So I think there might be some jubilation up in the northeast.
Interesting, because I remember a chat with Dan Ronan, and he felt the local consortium were second in the pecking order to get this deal done. So it seems like they've swooped.
Yeah, like,
are you part of the local consortium? Let's apply some journalism here and rule out all possibilities.
Well, just my sources, Joe, quote unquote, as in people who go to these games on a regular basis, like, everyone has been willing this takeover, this specific one, to come to fruition. And Peak Six, as far as they're concerned, don't let the door hit you on the way out type thing. Like, geez, like, what an unqualified disaster that has been from day dot, really. Like, every strand of the business, every strand of the football side of things, short, like, papering over the cracks with a decent European run when things kind of opened up in front of them. But apart from, like, things that weren't of their making, I would say, which kind of papered over the cracks to some extent, it's been a pretty depressing couple of seasons under their watch. So I think any good takeover, any good well-run club in the League of Ireland has that sort of community ethos behind it. And that's the key. I think that there are roots in Dundalk that they can appreciate what the club means to the town and get behind it to that end. And that was when Dundalk were properly in the doldrums coming on a decade ago. This was the kind of way that they got back out of it. They haven't fallen quite that far this time, evidently, but, you know, it was time for a change, and this is the change people are hoping for. So it's actually great news.
Okay, so breaking news there, hot off the presses. Peak Six and Dundalk are no more. Peak Six selling the club. The deal is done to sell to a local consortium. So that is the breaking news in the last few moments. I mentioned the match tomorrow then, some injury news.
Yeah, Andrew Omobamadeli has emerged as a doubt for the Republic of Ireland's World Cup qualifier with Portugal. The Norwich defender nursing an Achilles problem. Midfielder Jason Malumbi is definitely out of tomorrow night's game. He has a hamstring injury. Meanwhile, Portugal will be without Bernardo Silva, as the Manchester City playmaker hasn't travelled due to a muscle issue. Meanwhile, Portugal boss Fernando Santos says he won't rest any of the six players who are one booking away from missing their vital game with Serbia on Sunday. Stephen Kenny says Burnley's Nathan Collins will be next in line should Omobamadeli miss out.
Yeah, yeah, Nathan has done very well, and he's certainly in contention. That's for sure. It's an area that I really think that three emerging players coming through in that position, which is great for our future, really, with Darragh O'Shea, who got injured in Faro, and Nathan Collins and Andrew Omobamadili, who's been absolutely excellent for us so far since he made his debut, has looked so natural at this level, and it's been great to see.
I wonder, you know, I mean, Nathan Collins is in contention. My first thought was that Seamus Coleman will go in as one of the centre-backs, where he's been very, very good at times under Kenny. You have Doherty, and James McLean's done pretty well, you'd have to say. Or Enda Stevens, who's back as well as left-wing back. And you just maybe have that touch more experience and security. Yeah. That said, in fairness to Stephen Kenny, away to Portugal, he threw in Andrew Omobamadeli when Darragh O'Shea was injured and wasn't shy about doing so. So, I mean, he certainly has no problem putting in young players in big matches. So maybe Nathan Collins does get the nod. Gav Cooney is with us 7:30. We'll play some more clips from that press conference, just finished up in the last hour or so. Jim McGuinness, I knew this was going to happen. Ronan Mullen was pushing this story all day yesterday. All I was getting was Jim McGuinness talk. Got to do a Jim McGuinness piece. And I was calling BS on this from early on. And it's fair to say, once again, Richie, I've been proven correct.
Needless to say, Joe, you had the last laugh. Do you know what? Don't put this one to bed just yet, because there some interesting quotes from McGuinness today. He has distanced himself from a rumoured coaching position with the Down senior footballers. The Donegal manager had been linked to a coaching ticket of prospective Down boss Conor Laverty. However, the Derry City under-19 manager says he wants to focus on pursuing roles in soccer. McGuinness did tell the Irish Times that he received a number of approaches from county teams in recent months and has deemed to speak to all of them out of courtesy.
Fair enough. The pitch of your whistle there, Ronan, came through as if you're in the studio. Just perfect. So there was no way, the more I thought about it, there was no way Jim McGuinness, on his return to Intercounty GAA, was going in as a number three. There was just no way.
Yeah. To be fair, that did strike me too. Like, I was kind of thinking...
Not yesterday, when this was must-do, 7:30 story.
I still agree. I would stand by that. But, like, I did think if he was going to come back, it would be one of the... No offence to Down, but one of the marquee teams, like an automatic All-Ireland contender. And as I set the stall out last night, this wasn't very much the case in Down. Like, there was a bit of a rebuild to be done. And as you said, like, obviously we weren't heavy on detail last night, but the nature of his role, if there were to be one, like, was it an advisory capacity? Was he going to be boots on the training ground type thing? And if he's going to be putting in that level of commitment, I agree with you. It makes sense that he would be to the forefront of things. And also, like, I still think the Clark Laverty combo is a very appealing one, regardless of Jim McGuinness's input. That brings a bit of panache and possibly a bit more national interest. But I think Dan would be quietly very happy if they can get those two over the line and get things pointing in the right direction, because Ulster football's already frenetic. It's already the lifeblood of the championship, even more so now, given we're going with the structure that we're going with, that I think people can actually look forward to some competitive games. And if Down can re-emerge as well into the mix, it's only a good thing.
Because the other point to make on McGuinness is that he's obviously given over, well, effectively the last decade to pursuing a football, soccer management career. He's now at Derry City under-19s, which mightn't sound like, you know, the most prestigious job in the world. Considering
trophy winners last month, Joe.
Well, I was just going to say, but considering where, you know, he'd been as... you know, working with top-level coaches. However, Ronan, you were saying there is money in Derry City, very decent money. They're going to be very competitive over the next decade, you would think, in the league. And if he keeps doing a good job there and gets on well with the owners and impresses, then somewhere along the line, he might feel he will get that job. And so it would have been strange timing for him to abandon the soccer plans just yet. Because in 5, 6, 7 years' time, he'd still be fairly hot property in inter-county GAA circles, I would think.
Oh yeah, I think he calls a shot on when he comes back to Intercounty. If he literally says, this is the year I'm coming back, and makes it known, I think he'd be number one contender for a lot of people. And the only thing was, like, the field has opened up slightly, in the sense that, I mean slightly, that Dublin have come back to the pack a bit, and obviously Tyrone are reigning All-Ireland champions, but there's nothing to suggest they're automatically going to go back to back or anything like it. So like, if he does come back with a county, there is, like, room for growth there. But yeah, totally agree with you. I think he's really planted the seeds now for, in terms of his football credentials, like, whatever about doing the stuff in America and the coaching underage with Celtic and the bits he was doing over there, like establishing himself in the League of Ireland. Some parallels with what Damien Duff has done actually with that time at Celtic, then come to work underage in the League of Ireland and will hope to get a senior job ultimately. The only thing is, because Derry are doing quite well, Rory Higgins is doing quite well, so there's no automatic pathway to the senior job there. But if he keeps doing what he's doing at the underage level that he's currently at, I think it's only a matter of time before he gets someone that will take a chance on him just for the notoriety that would come with it. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's bums on seats as well. You know, there is that aspect. Duffer versus Jim McGuinness in the League of Ireland. I mean, we'd keep an eye on it, wouldn't we? So we'll watch that space. So anyway, no truth in the down rumours, although he is listening to county teams who want to approach him. You're allowed an audience with Jim. You can make your pitch.
Go and kiss the ring. Sensei, let us know what we can do for you.
So Rich, you want to blast through a few there?
Yeah, Finn Lynch secured a silver at the World Sailing Championships in Barcelona for Ireland today. The Carlo sailor had the best score across the eight races, but he actually dropped a second after Thomas Saunders' worst result was dismissed. Lynch's silver is Ireland's best ever performance at a World Sailing Championships. And Munster back row Maeve Ogue O'Leary is in line to make her Ireland debut on Friday night. She's been included among the replacements for the test with the United States at the RDS. Ciara Griffin captains the team from the blind side, while Cleona Maloney starts in a week where she was critical of Anthony Eddy, the RFU's director of women's rugby. The Ireland under-19s survived a late scare to make a winning start to their Euro 19 qualifying group. The QPR striker Sinclair Armstrong scored twice in a 3-2 win over Montenegro. The former Yugoslav Republic, however, scored twice in injury time. And next up for Tom Moen's side is a meeting with Bosnia-Herzegovina on Saturday. And Liverpool confirming today that sporting director Michael Edwards will leave the club at the end of this season. The 43-year-old joined the club 10 years ago and has been one of the chief architects of their recent successes. Assistant sporting director Julian Ward will take Edwards' position in the summer. And big news in East London as well today. New West Ham co-owner Daniel Kretinsky says he wants to help build on the traditions of the club. The Czech businessman has bought a 27% stake in the East London outfit. Kretinsky and colleague Pavel Horsky have become board members at the London Stadium. And as you mentioned there, Steven Gerrard believed to be interested in the Villa manager's job. Rangers, it seems, in the past hour or so have given permission for the former Liverpool captain to speak with the Birmingham club. Villa sacked Ian Smith on Sunday, with Gerrard and Roberto Martinez among the frontrunners to replace him. Ex-Villa and Ireland defender Richard Dunn says Gerrard will be an ideal fit for the club.
I think it will be a huge step, but I think it's what Steven Gerrard wants. He obviously got into management to hopefully, for him, managing the Premier League. And if the opportunity comes with Aston Villa, that Villa are a big Premier League club, and the chance to lead them, and they've got the investment over the last couple of years. So if they continue with that, I think he's someone who players will want to come and play for, and someone who can lead them to hopefully higher glories for them. And Rangers are a big club, but the Premier League's the biggest league in the world, and that's where all good managers want to be.
Well, there we go. If Rangers have granted permission for Gerrard to speak to Villa, I think we can safely say that's done, and I'd be surprised if those talks don't work out. Although Malachy in Donegal does point out Gerrard all set to leave Liverpool for Chelsea, pulled out at the very last minute on two occasions. The Villa move not guaranteed, methinks. I'm not sure Rangers has the same wrench on Gerrard's heart that Rangers does, is the only thing, or that Liverpool does. I mean, he was agonising over that, and that was almost about not feeling the love from Rafa. So he wasn't happy with Rangers over the summer either. He came out and talked about a lack of investment and said he was frustrated. So you suspect, even relatively early on into his title winning time at Rangers, he was kind of frustrated with the glass ceiling. So I think this is done. I mean, he's not going through all this just to sit down with Villa and decide he doesn't like the sound of it. I think Richard,
man, I can't wait to play this back on Monday when it doesn't happen. Montage a go-go.
Yeah.
It'd be, well, like, yeah, what is it, Dave Brady, when he's talking about McGuinness, funnily enough, working with the Mayo footballers?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what was going on with Brady and his phone that day.
It was busy. Whereas anyway,
I'm relying on several respectable news outlets here, so.
Are you saying Steven Gerrard's never spoken to Christian Purslow in his life?
So Kurt Walker. Olympian, yeah, Kurt Walker, news on him.
He's turned professional. The Belfast fighter is signed with Top Rank Promotions, will be managed by Conlon Boxing, the new company of Michael and brother Jamie Conlon. Conlon Boxing, as you might imagine, has a loose affiliation with MTK. While New Zealand progressed to the T20 Cricket World Cup final at England's expense today, they beat Owen Morganside by 5 wickets in Abu Dhabi, having reached their target of 167 with 6 balls to spare. Pakistan meet Australia in the other semi-final tomorrow. And worth noting this one as well, a lot of people would have been familiar with his voice, and it picked up a lot of traction online today as well for us. Former ITV and BBC commentator Gerald Sinstat has died at the age of 91. He began his career with British Forces Broadcasting Service in 1949, and during his service will meet a fellow aspiring sports broadcaster in one Barry Davis. Sinstat moved into television in the 60s. He became Granada's chief football commentator in 1969 and covered four World Cups for the ITV network before moving on to the BBC in the 1980s, where his warm tones frequently grace both Match of the Day and Football Focus.
Yes, saw lots of people of a certain vintage mourning his passing. I just did a quick YouTube of his work there. It was a familiar voice, kind of a soft, slightly high-pitched, nasally tone, posh voice. I liked it.
Really warm. Really, really warm. Like, there's like, I go through these things routinely because I'm a nerd and sad and watch old football highlights, but there was an art to doing goals raps that people like Sinstad had, people like Elton Wellesby had, that is just, it's lost because football is everywhere and you don't necessarily have to do these things anymore. But he could sum up a game better and more beautifully than anybody while the highlights were rolling. And yeah, just a great loss and a great voice, and one of those pillars, I think, of people's sporting viewing for decades. And yeah, that's hard to replace.
Wouldn't have said a billion miles away from Barry Davies in terms of style. Certainly more Davies than John Motson.
Yeah, yeah. He was more of a... He picked up the whole colour of the piece rather than... Motson, you would just say, was a you know, stereotypical play-by-play, whereas Davies and Sinstat and their ilk would, I think, take in the occasion more and would be able to describe the sense of the game rather than who's just passed to who and, you know, who's just scored his 15th goal of the season. There was a bit more care and attention given to the commentary games from Davies and from Sinstat than others might have invested.
Okay, fellas, we are out of time. Ronan Mullen, thanks very much.
Cheers, Joe.
Richie, cheers.
Nice one.
And now, competition time.